This audio program is presented by Real Options Publishing. The Amazing Adventures of Doug Dragster. Written and read by Ivan Honey. Book 1, Doug Dragster Finds His Wheels. Chapter 1, Doug Dragster's Disastrous Day. The worst day in the life of Doug Dragster began like any other day. Doug woke, yawned, and stretched his springs. He felt great. It was going to be a wonderful day. A cup of warm oil for breakfast, and he was on his way. However, it wasn't long before his day began to spin out of control. Zipping along through the morning traffic, Doug turned into High Street. He found himself stuck behind an old Bentley who was cruising along, enjoying the morning sunshine. Doug scowled and blew his horn 3 times. "Stupid old stick in the mud," he grumbled. "Why are cars so slow?" The old car glared at Doug and slowed down to a crawl. Doug revved his engine, getting even more frustrated. When the traffic stopped for a train, Doug's radiator boiled over in anger, splashing some nearby cars who had just come out of the car wash. Doug stopped as soon as one of the cars spoke. It was his next-door neighbour, Harry Holden. "I'll be talking to your parents about this," Harry said sternly. "When will you ever learn to slow down?" The other cars nearby nodded in agreement. "Grow up, kid," grunted a large truck. He moved menacingly towards Doug. "If you get in my way, I'll push you off the road." Doug began to feel scared. He had to get out of there quick. Finding a tiny gap in the traffic, he spun his huge back wheels and made his escape down a side road. As he squeezed through, he scratched the side of a large green bus. Doug sped through an intersection at high speed. Trying to avoid him, 2 cars crashed into each other. "It's that yellow terror again," groaned Freddie Ford as he inspected the damage to his panels. "The only thing to stop him would be if Officer Oldsmobile could catch him and clamp his wheels." But Doug had already made his getaway and gone into hiding with his best mate, Sid Sideswiper. "I can't understand it, Sid," he complained. "Why is the world this way? All I ever see is slow, boring cars." Sid tried his best to cheer Doug up with his usual quirky jokes. But Doug was glum and grumpy. He wasn't looking forward to going home. "I reckon Harry Holden's already told Dad about me. I'll be grounded for sure." Sid was looking his best. As a member of the high-performance racing team, he kept his engine well-tuned and his paintwork sparkled in the sun. "This isn't like you, mate. You're no fun today. Snap out of it. Keep going like this and they'll be calling you Dismal Doug." Doug gave a loud sniff through his new air cleaner. "It's just not fair. I'm always in trouble. Everyone seems to hate me." Sid stifled a yawn. He'd heard all this before. Then he smiled. "I know the answer for you, mate. It always works. Let's go for a drag along Dunlop Drive." Doug's headlights flashed with excitement, and his engine almost missed a beat. A small niggling thought flashed through his mind, and for a moment he sensed danger. But like always, he pushed the thought away, revved his engine, spun his tyres, and took off after Sid. Chapter 2, Nightmare on Doug's Street. Doug Dragster's engine howled with joy as he accelerated dangerously to overtake his best friend. He was almost airborne when he saw a car coming straight towards him. There was no escape. Doug swerved at the last second and slammed into Sid before going into a tailspin on the wet road. Round and round he went, his world a blur of screeching tyres and coloured lights. He was so scared, he could hardly breathe. "So this is the end," Doug thought to himself as everything around him seemed to move in slow motion. As Doug came to rest on his side in the gutter, he could hear Sid's horn screaming out in pain.
"You idiot, Doug," he blared. "You could have killed me. Look what you've done."
When Doug's windscreen finally focused, he could see that Sid was dented from the front panel all the way to his back door. His radiator hissed and steamed, but worst of all, his axles had snapped, and his whole body slumped flat on the road. He was a total wreck.
"Look at me, Doug, I'm history," Sid cried. "They'll tow me to the scrap heap for sure. What will I do?"
Just when Doug thought it couldn't get any worse, he heard the wail of a police siren and saw the familiar shape of Officer Oldsmobile pulling into the curb. "Doug Dragster, I should have known," he said smugly, taking out his wheel clamps. "You're a threat to everyone on the road. I'm going to make sure you won't bother anyone for many years to come." With a grim look on his grill, Officer Oldsmobile snapped on the wheel clamps. Doug sounded his horn in an anguished cry, "No!" Chapter 3, Facing the Music.
"Sid! Sid!"
Doug woke in a cold sweat. The dream that had started out so wonderfully had become one of the worst nightmares he'd ever had. He looked down at the crumpled mess that was once his shiny yellow bonnet. When he felt the crack in his windscreen, it didn't take long for the events of the previous day to come flooding back. "It's all right, Dougie," soothed his mum as she fussed over him and gave him a fresh cup of warm oil for breakfast. "Sometimes our dreams just replay the scary things that happen. They can't hurt you." Doug slurped his oil, spilling a few drops. Mum was right. The dream had been an exact replay of yesterday's terrible smash. The race with his special friend Sid had turned into a disaster. If only that other car hadn't been there. Doug's body was sore all over. He moved carefully forwards. It was good to move. He looked around his garage. What a relief! At least Officer Oldsmobile and the wheel clamps had just been a dream. Doug had an awful pain in his head gasket. His axles felt heavy and were aching, but that was nothing compared to how Sid would be feeling. Doug could still see the look on his friend's windscreen as he was hoisted onto the tow truck. Sure, Sid wasn't a write-off like in his nightmare, but it was Sid's words that hurt the most. "You're an idiot, Doug. That's it. I'll never forgive you for this," he'd said. Doug's tires slowly deflated at the thought. They were new tires, too. He and Sid had been best friends for as long as he could remember. Sid was a joker and so much fun. Only yesterday Sid had told one of his corny jokes. What happens when a frog's dragster gets smashed? It gets towed away. Doug shuddered. It was too close to the truth. It seemed like the bottom had dropped out of his world. Doug's parents were furious. His dad was Larry Limo, one of the most well-known and respected cars in town. He transported lots of very important people and all the other cars admired him. His mother, Minnie Cooperess, had been known for her speed when she was young. She loved Doug and was always there for him with warm oil and band-aids when he came home with scrapes and cuts. Doug had heard all the talk before. "His poor parents," cars would say. "Such a disappointment for Larry and Minnie." It was Doug's third smash in as many weeks, and the repair bills were mounting up. Two new tyres, a new front bumper, a brand new windscreen. Larry had run out of patience. "That's it, young fella," Larry had said as the tow truck backed Doug into the workshop. "Enough's enough. You're off the road until you can prove to me that you're responsible." Doug remembered how angry his dad had been.
and sighed so loudly that his whole body trembled. "It's not my fault," he thought helplessly. "Everyone drives so slowly in this town. I'm sick of dawdling along in traffic. What's a dragster supposed to do?" Chapter 4. Speed in His Genes. Doug breathed in the sweet smell of engine oil and listened to his dad rummaging around amongst the mess of old car parts. If he couldn't be out on the road driving fast, the family workshop was Doug's favourite place to be. He knew to stay quiet for a while. Larry's anger always faded quickly when he was tinkering with car parts or fixing things. But he'd never been quite this angry before, so Doug wasn't taking any chances. "Okay, Dougie, I guess we better start with these tyres of yours. Bit of air's all they need." Doug remained quiet for a moment longer, but as his tyres filled with air, he plucked up the courage to ask, "Dad, why am I so different to all the other cars? Why don't any of them like me?" Larry stared into his toolbox the way he always did when he was thinking of an answer, then said, "Well, Doug, if there's one thing I've learnt over the years, it's that every car is different. That's what makes the roads so interesting. Each car is special in its own way." "But other cars don't treat me like I'm special," Doug said. "They just tease me and make me angry. Even my best friend says I'm an idiot." "Let me show you something," Larry said, taking an old car magazine off the shelf. "This is your great-grandfather Dizzy Dragster. He was one of the very first dragsters. He was the first car to make his back wheels bigger and modify his engine to make it louder and more powerful." Doug's engine skipped a beat when his dad told him that Dizzy had been a champion drag racer. "If you think about it, Dougie, speed is in your genes," Larry said. "Did you know your mother has a sports engine? There's nothing wrong with needing to go fast. It's what you do with your speed that counts." Chapter 5. It's Your Choice, Doug. A few days later, Doug was back on the road again. His parents were still angry, but they'd calmed down enough to give Doug another chance. He had air in his tyres again and his radiator was fixed, but still something didn't feel quite right. He felt wobbly, and his engine timing was all wrong. Usually when he felt that way, he would go out onto the freeway and drive really fast, rev his engine and burn some rubber. That always seemed to help. But Doug couldn't risk it. He was on his last warning and he felt more angry and frustrated than ever. Thankfully, today was the day Uncle Diesel Dragster was coming to visit. Doug loved his Uncle Diesel. He had invented the very first diesel dragster. Since this time, all dragsters drove their turbocharged engines on a wonderful biodiesel fuel and had solar panels attached to their spoilers. Not only were they faster, but they used less fuel than a normal car. Uncle Diesel was a legend. He knew everything there was to know about cars, and he never lost his temper like other grown-up cars. When Uncle Diesel arrived, he found Doug in Larry's workshop and noticed right away that something was wrong. "What is it, Doug? You're looking a bit sad. Your bumper bar's almost dragging on the ground." "I don't know what to do, Uncle Diesel," Doug said sadly. "I keep getting into trouble all the time. I need to drive fast, but everyone gets in my way. I've even hurt my best friend. What am I supposed to do? Why is it always my fault?" "You sound angry, Doug." "Yeah, I'm angry almost all the time. I can't help it." "You know, Doug, I used to be a bit of a speedster when I was a young car too, always needing to drive fast, feeling angry a lot of the time." But you're the least angry car I know," Doug said, surprised. "How did you change?" "I learnt that I have choices," Uncle Diesel said with a smile. "We all have choices, Doug. Let me tell you a story."
Chapter 6, Dash and the Vroomtown 500. This is a story about a dragster the same age as you, Uncle Diesel said, and like you, this dragster loved to go fast. Needed to go fast. What's his name? Doug asked. His name? Let's call him Dash for the sake of the story. Now, Dash grew up in Vroomtown, the same place your great-grandfather Dizzy was from. Dash was always out on the streets, late at night, tearing along the laneways, leaping across bridges and doing 360s on the gravel roads down by the railway tracks. There was one back street in particular that was popular with illegal street races. They called it the Vroomtown 500 because it was about half a kilometre long and came to a dead end. Not only was it extremely dangerous, but if the police turned up, there was no way to escape. Anyway, Dash was the youngest dragster ever to race on the 500. He had no sense of danger. One night, he and his best friend, Carl Coupe, decided to test their luck. Well, at least Dash decided to, and then he convinced Carl to go along with him. Carl would do anything for Dash. They'd been friends for as long as either of them could remember. Theirs was the last race of the night, and it was no surprise they were up against Mal Monaro, a hotted-up V8 with twin exhausts and lowered suspension. He was the most feared car on the streets. No one had ever beaten him, and the police had never been able to pin him to illegal racing. The cars lined up that night with Mal in the centre and Carl and Dash on either side. They took off in a cloud of burning rubber and a scream of engines. Carl and Dash stuck with Mal for most of the race, but then something terrible happened. No one knows why or how, but Carl lost control of his steering, clipped Mal's front panel and flipped. Mal and Dash hit the brakes, but Carl rolled over and over before slamming into the wall at the dead end of the street. In the moments after the crash, every engine in the street went silent. And then the unthinkable happened. The brick wall collapsed on top of Carl. It was all over in a second, the air clouded in dust. Then there was panic, police sirens, cars taking off in every direction. Mal took off with a roar of his V8 engine, and Dash followed. In that moment of panic, he deserted his best friend. Carl ended up on the scrap heap. By the time Uncle Diesel had finished his story, Doug was shaking. It all felt so real. "Were you there that night?" he asked. "Yes, Doug," Uncle Diesel replied. "I was." Chapter 7, The Secret. Uncle Diesel rummaged in his glove box and produced a package wrapped in a dusty green cloth. He placed the package in front of Doug. Carefully, Doug unfolded the cloth to reveal an old hardcover manual. Doug had never seen anything like it. The book was bound in leather and had some ancient markings on the cover. It was caked with years of grease and engine oil, and when Uncle Diesel peeled open the cover, Doug's senses reeled with the rich fumes of fuel and burnt rubber. "Where did you get it?" Doug asked in amazement. "It looks like a book of magic spells." "Your great-grandfather Dizzy gave it to me a long time ago," Uncle Diesel said, "back when I was your age. He said it contained everything a car needs to know about being a car. And I think he was right. It helped me, and I think it might help you." Doug was excited. "I can't believe this belonged to my great-grandfather. It's incredible. I want to read it from cover to cover right now." "Whoa, slow down, Dougie. The other thing Dizzy said was this: you have to go slowly.
one page at a time. The ideas in this book are very simple, but they're also very powerful. Let's start with Chapter 1 for now. Uncle Diesel opened the manual to the first page and revealed a hand-drawn picture of four wheels. Now, this might look complicated, Doug, but there's a simple secret behind this drawing, and once you know it, your life will never be the same again. Like all young cars, Doug loved a secret. "Tell me," he said, "what's the secret?" "It's as simple as this. We all have choices, Doug. We can all change the way we feel by changing the way we think and the way we act. We can choose to be happy." Chapter 8. Magic Happens. Doug felt uneasy. The book glowed green and an eerie dark smoke began to rise from the pages. The ground seemed to move beneath his wheels as the next page of the book flipped magically by itself. Suddenly he heard the roar of an engine as an ancient dragster burst from the page in a cloud of smoke and screeching tires. It came straight at Doug before exploding into a ball of coloured light. Doug was too scared to move or make a sound. Shaken and trembling, he watched as a beam of light burst from the book and projected shimmering words onto the workshop wall. A playful, teasing voice echoed round the workshop. "Hey, Doug Dragster, are you ready? Can you keep your front wheels steady?" Another page flipped, and Doug jumped with fright to see a full-sized picture of himself right down to the wheels, projected onto the workshop wall. It was like gazing into a giant, flickering mirror. He stared in amazement as words began forming on each wheel. On the back wheel, the word "feelings" appeared, and below it other words were forming: lonely, angry, hurt, sad, frightened, confused, unhappy. Doug had a strange sensation in his sump. The book knew how he was feeling. The car turned in front of him. On the back wheel appeared the words, "Your body." Just as before, other words began to magically appear: aching head gasket, pain in the engine, burnt out gearbox, faded paint. Then, with a squeal of tires and burning rubber, the wheels rolled off the wall and attached themselves to Doug. Doug was overwhelmed and confused. Before he could even begin to understand what was happening to him, he saw a front wheel projected onto the wall with the glowing word "thoughts." Sentences began to form below it. "I must be first all the time. Other cars are slow and stupid. Fast is always best. Why don't they get out of my way? It's not my fault." Doug spun his wheels nervously. How could a book read his thoughts? It must be another dream, he thought. But it was all so real. He felt stripped bare, as if the world knew his deepest secrets. Finally, the other front wheel turned to display the word "actions." Doug couldn't deny it. The words below were the absolute truth, and it made him feel sick to the very core of his engine. "Driving fast all the time, spinning my wheels, blaming and criticizing, blowing my horn, crashing into other cars." And then, worst of all, in big, bold letters, "damaging my best friend." Doug groaned as the front wheels screeched off the wall and attached themselves to his front axle. He felt stunned and ashamed, totally out of control. Projected onto the wall was a picture of a miserable, unhappy Doug Dragster.
His bumper bar was twisted into a grim, bitter expression, and angry smoke billowed out of his engine.
"Magic book," he cried out. "Will it always be like this? What can I do to change?"
As if in answer to his question, Doug watched as the next page slowly began to turn. Chapter 9. The Plan. Amidst all the magic and excitement, Doug had forgotten he wasn't alone in the workshop. He was almost startled to catch a glimpse of Uncle Diesel as the smoke cleared, but relieved when he saw the comforting smile on his uncle's grill. Uncle Diesel didn't say anything. He just nodded wisely and motioned for Doug to look again at the book. The new page glowed with a calm and golden light. Suddenly, in a blaze of colour, new images were projected onto the workshop wall. Doug couldn't believe what he was seeing. Before him was the most beautiful thing he'd ever seen. Amazing wheels with pristine tyres and glistening hubs. Again, words began to appear on the wheels, but this time it was different. The big mag dragster back wheel had words like happy, confident, contented, calm, connected. The page turned again, and another back wheel appeared as beautiful as the first. Words formed: smooth idling, responsive steering, great paint job, clear exhaust, strong. This was the new Doug Dragster. The bitterness, anger, and misery were gone. The picture showed Doug with a friendly smile on his grill. He looked relaxed and his power was under control. Doug was overwhelmed. He'd never wanted anything so badly. He wanted to shout it out to the world. Suddenly, the sing-song voice from the magic book began to chant. "Doug Dragster, you don't have to be stuck. You can choose to get out of the muck. You can change your thoughts and actions right now. Just think a bit and you'll work out how. Change your front wheels, don't be slow. Use your brain and go, car, go." A million thoughts flashed into Doug's mind at once, like his headlights were on full beam without even trying. Doug spoke his thoughts out loud. "I don't want to be unhappy anymore. I want to make things right with Sid. It's time for me to take control of my car. I'll work this out." The thoughts appeared on a new front wheel which came rolling down off the wall and attached itself to Doug. Doug turned towards Uncle Diesel. The cogs were turning thoughtfully in his engine. "Uncle Diesel, I can't explain it right now, but I have to go and talk to Sid. I'm sorry, but it can't wait." The action wheel flipped off the wall. The words on it said, "Got to see Sid. Be happy. Smile. Be friendly." "You don't have to explain, Doug. I understand. You do what you need to do," Uncle Diesel said, slipping the book back into his glove box. "There'll be plenty of time to talk later." Doug felt different as he gently revved his engine and turned towards the open workshop doors. His engine idled smoothly and he felt light on his wheels. He was about to accelerate onto the street when he caught a glimpse of his own reflection in a shop window. Four brand new wheels, the ones he'd just seen in the book, the wheels he'd secretly wished for all his life. Chapter 10. Repairing a Friendship. As Doug drove to the garage where Sid was being repaired, his thoughts were very different from those he'd had in the past. He started to practice some new thoughts. "I can make myself happy. I'll start by smiling. I won't let anybody make me feel bad. I'll be friendly, not grumpy." Doug had already come up with one thing he would do differently. He decided he would simply nod and say hello to each oncoming car
as he passed on the way to see Sid. After 5 minutes, he couldn't believe how good he was feeling. At first, the cars that recognised Doug were a little suspicious, but none ignored him. Most gave a friendly nod in return and said hello. Doug couldn't believe that one simple word could make him feel so good. When he said good morning to Officer Oldsmobile and cheerily tooted his horn, the usually very serious police car almost ran off the road. But he still managed to give Doug a startled, good morning. But when Doug arrived at the garage where Sid was up on the hydraulic hoist surrounded by engine parts, his mood was given a sudden jolt. What are you doing here? Sid sneered. I thought I made it clear I didn't want to see you again. Just how big a fool are you, Doug Dragster? Doug had hoped that Sid might have calmed down a bit since the accident. He couldn't blame him for being angry, but Sid was the main part of Doug's plan. Doug knew he owed Sid big time and wasn't leaving until his friend felt at least a little better. Listen, Sid, Doug said quietly. I know I've been stupid and I know I've treated you badly, but you've got to believe how sorry I am. I know I shouldn't expect you to believe me. I know I've apologised before and let you down, but this is different. Something amazing happened today and I'm a different car. I swear, just give me a chance to prove it. Sid was quiet for a moment, then he said, So what's with the fancy new wheels? That's part of it, Doug said, unable to contain his excitement. Just trust me. You can have amazing new wheels too. You're my best friend, Sid. You and me, we'll be unstoppable. And I promise no more street racing. I've got a plan for that too. Just hear me out. Well, I'm not going anywhere, Sid said, nodding towards the hoist and his scattered engine parts. I'm bored out of my brain here. I'll give you 10 minutes. Doug could sense a slight change in Sid's voice, signs of the old Sid he'd grown up with his friend through so many good times. He pulled up closer to Sid and wondered where to begin. You know my Uncle Diesel, Doug said. Well, he has this book. Chapter 11, Remembering Not to Forget. Doug was so happy after his visit with Sid, it was as if he was on autopilot. He hit the road with his back wheels spinning and his horn blaring and sped off down the main street of town. It felt so good he didn't even realise how fast he was going or how wet the road was until a bike suddenly pulled out in front of him. Doug squeezed his brakes as hard as he could, but on the slippery road it was like skating on ice. He missed the bike by centimetres but found himself in a hopeless tailspin. Round and round he went, the world a dizzy blur. It was like his nightmare all over again, but this was no dream. It was as real could be, and Doug knew he was totally out of control. Everything seemed to slow down, and in the few seconds it took for Doug to finally come to rest on the median strip in the middle of the road, felt more like minutes. He looked around as the world started to come back into focus, shook his whole body, and realised that he was okay. He hadn't collided with anything, and he hadn't damaged himself either. But instead of relief, Doug felt strangely angry and frustrated. Immediately he thought about the book. You have the power to choose, it had said. Doug couldn't believe how quickly he'd forgotten. This is going to be much harder than I thought, he said quietly to himself. Again he pictured the book in his mind. Okay, Doug, he said to himself, what's something you can do right now? He roughly scrawled 2 notes and attached them to his dashboard. You have the power to choose. Keep to the speed limit. He started his engine and steered carefully back onto the road. Sure, those simple notes were not the answer to all his problems, but they were a start. Like Uncle Diesel always said, Doug, we're all a work in progress. We all have to start somewhere, and it might as well be now. Cruising along at the speed limit, Doug felt much calmer as he headed towards Larry's workshop. After all, there'd be plenty of time for going fast, especially when he and Sid put their plan into action. He smiled as he thought of Sid. The book was right. He did have a choice. "Hello, it's a great day," he said to an old truck as it rumbled past. Chapter 12, Nerves Are Natural. It was a fabulous sunny day, and Doug was feeling a combination of excitement and nerves as he and Uncle Diesel drove to the Freedom Drag Racing Club, where they'd arranged to meet Sid. Doug had explained his plan to Uncle Diesel, and they both agreed it was a great idea to join the drag racing club, the ideal place for a young dragster with a need for speed. When they arrived at the club, Sid was waiting for them at the front gate. His panels had been knocked back into shape. He had a shiny coat of bright new blue paint, and he was looking through a sparkling new windscreen. He was his old self again, even the same old jokes. "Hey, Doug, what kind of driver never gets a speeding ticket?" "You tell me, Sid." "A screwdriver." They both laughed. There was a lot of activity going on all around them. Dragsters were arriving from all over town, and the air was filled with the smell of high-octane fuel and burning rubber. Even though Doug was still feeling sick to the pit of his sump with nerves, he also felt strangely at home. It was like the feeling of being in Larry's workshop, but 1,000 times more exciting. Doug noticed that Sid was shaking too. He was about to say something when Uncle Diesel broke the silence. "You know what? I'm really proud of you, young cars," he said. "The way you've come through all of this, it's a big thing to change your behaviour and to make a plan. I know plenty of grown-up cars who've never been able to do it, so you boys should be really proud of yourselves." Doug and Sid looked at each other and both gave a nervous smile. They were a bit embarrassed, and the constant sound of the engines revving inside the drag club made them shake all the way down to their axles with excitement. "It's okay to be nervous," Uncle Diesel continued. "We all get nervous when we drive out of our comfort zone. But you know what? It also makes us feel alive. Besides, you two have got each other, so go in there and have fun." At that, Sid revved his freshly tuned engine and nodded to Doug. "You heard the man," he said. "Let's get in there and burn some rubber." Doug grinned, and the two of them drove through the gate. It was only then that Doug realized, sure, it would be fun to race, but what excited him most was having his friend back. Chapter 13, Start Your Engine. Doug looked at the expanse of track spread out in front of him, then across at Sid. He could barely contain his excitement, and despite the look of terror on Sid's windscreen, he knew his friend was feeling it too. Being junior cars, Doug and Sid had been matched up with an older, more experienced car for their first race. Doug could tell from the way that everyone round the club treated him that he was a much respected car. The loudspeakers crackled. "The next race is the Dragster Dash, the fourth race on our program. Two newcomers, Doug Dragster and Sid Sideswiper, will be racing our very own Mal Monaro. We all want to see what these kids can do." Doug froze. Could this be the same Mal Monaro who raced in the Vroomtown 500? Doug took a quick look at Mal. He had a huge V8 motor, twin exhausts, and a lowered suspension. He looked about the same age as Uncle Diesel. With a sudden jolt of understanding, Doug realized, this is the same Mal Monaro, all grown up. And Uncle Diesel was Dash. "Poor Uncle Diesel," he said to himself. Mal Monaro was gazing thoughtfully at Doug. I knew your Uncle Diesel way back when we were just young cars, he said. We did some crazy things. His windscreen had a sad, faraway look. We were lucky to survive. There were some that didn't. Mal spun his back wheels. Okay, you two, we're about to get the green light, he said. Remember, it's about being safe and doing your own personal best time. We've got a saying round the club. You can't control anyone else but yourself. So give it all you've got, fellas. Let's burn rubber and have some fun. Doug revved his supercharged diesel engine, then watched the starting light change from red to orange and finally green. In a cloud of smoke and a roar of engines, the three cars spun their tyres and took off down the track. In seconds, they were flying at top speed and everything was just a blur of colour and noise. Doug had never accelerated so fast in his life, and knowing he was actually encouraged to go his fastest made it feel even more incredible. As the three cars hit the finish line locked together, Doug couldn't contain his excitement and gave three loud blasts on his horn. Above the roar of engines, he heard Sid doing exactly the same. I get the feeling you boys enjoyed that, Mal Monaro said, laughing along with them. It doesn't get any better, does it? But Doug and Sid couldn't answer. They were still rocking on their wheels with adrenaline-fueled laughter. Sid looked at Doug with a smile from headlight to headlight and managed to say just one word. Again? Chapter 14, Seeing Things Differently. Doug and Sid took the long way home from the drag club just so they could run the adrenaline out of their engines. After three races each, they were feeling a strange mixture of calm and excitement. You know, it actually feels all right driving at the speed limit today, Doug said with a feeling of surprise. It's like, well, it's hard to explain, but I can't imagine it being any better than it was on the racetrack today. Out here on the streets, I mean. Yeah, same, Sid replied. Best day ever. Can't wait till next weekend. I reckon we'll both beat our personal bests. Definitely, Doug agreed. Doug told Sid about the other parts of his plan, and they spent the rest of the drive to Sid's place saying hello to all the cars they passed along the way. Sid agreed. It was amazing how something so simple could make you feel so good. They enjoyed the admiring glances and friendly comments from the other cars. Hey, I got another joke for you, Doug. Doug groaned. What is it this time? Did you hear about the wooden dragster with wooden wheels and a wooden engine? It wouldn't go. It was so corny, they both laughed. Here's another one. What would you have if your engine was on fire? Doug chuckled. That's easy. A fire engine, of course. After saying their goodbyes, Doug lingered for a moment. I really am sorry, Sid, you know, about everything. Ah, forget it, said Sid. Just make sure you talk your Uncle Diesel into showing me that book. Deal, Doug said, and gave three short blasts off his horn as he drove off down the street. Chapter 15, Girl Power. Every day, Doug cruised the streets on his way to the dragster track. The other cars began to enjoy his friendly smile and admired his style and polished electric yellow Duco. Doug enjoyed cheering up his friends by playing music on his sound system. He always played the coolest dragster hits, but at the track there was an even more popular dragster. Her name was Daisy. Although Uncle Diesel had told Doug not to compare himself to other dragsters, he had discovered that Daisy could zip past him every time. Doug felt humiliated when she raced past him in a shiny blur of orange and green. He could hardly bring himself to talk to her. But every time he tried, she would start talking to someone else, leaving Doug feeling left out and stupid. "I just don't know what to do," he confided to Sid. "She doesn't like me." Sid chuckled. He could see how Doug was fascinated with Daisy and was frustrated when she ignored him and didn't smile back. "I reckon you can work it out, mate. Get on your front wheels," was all Sid would say. Doug thought, "What can I do to make friends with someone who doesn't want to be friends? I know I can't make anyone do what they don't want to do." Doug decided to stop upsetting himself by thinking about how Daisy was ignoring him. He'd just act normal and keep enjoying his time at the drag track. It was a good strategy. 3 weeks later, as Doug was sipping a cool oil between races, Daisy drove up beside him. They had a great conversation about her hybrid electric engine. But Daisy couldn't keep her eyes off Doug's new wheels. She was so envious. "I've been dying to ask you about how your wheels work. They look fantastic." "It's simple once you know the secret," Doug told her. "I'll try and explain. The magic book showed me how everything I do has four parts. That's our four wheels, our actions, what we think, what we feel, and how our body works." Daisy's eyes were wide open. "What's the magic book?" Doug grinned. "I'll tell you about that later. Come with me." They drove to the clubhouse where Doug switched on the electronic whiteboard and started to draw. "I'll show you how my wheels used to look." "Yuck," said Daisy. "No wonder everyone hated you. But how did you change your wheels?" Doug drew another car. Daisy was surprised. "That's just how you are now, Doug. But how do you do it?" He explained. "It's very easy once you know. That's why we say, just get onto your front wheels. You can change your actions and thinking to feel better. The back wheels always follow." Doug lowered his voice. "You're never really stuck. You can always make yourself happy." Daisy spun her wheels. "That's incredible." She took a deep breath. "Doug, you're a really nice dragster. I'll be honest, I didn't like you. I'd heard about how you hurt your best friend. Other cars have told me that you're an idiot. Our next-door neighbour, Officer Oldsmobile, always used to complain about you. How did you work this out about the wheels?" Doug smiled as he told Daisy about the magic book. It felt right to share his secret with her. "Uncle Diesel says that this is just the start. I can't wait to find out more." Daisy was excited. "Doug, you've got to show me that book next time your uncle is in town." Doug's gearbox clunked and his bumper bar curved into a broad grin. Daisy smiled in return. Doug knew he'd found a friend. He ordered two large icy cold oils to celebrate. The dragster track seemed better than ever. Chapter 16, Back to the Future. It was getting hotter and hotter. Doug sucked in some deep breath through his air cleaner. He felt the heat of the fire before he saw it. The mocking laughter came creeping up the road towards him as the fearful red glow of the fire cast horrible shadows. A dark, sinister shape crept towards Doug. Suddenly, everything went cold. Through a murky twilight, Doug could see the outline of strong metal bars. He realized he was shivering, shaking on his springs just to keep warm. He tried to move forward, but the wheel clamps held him down. Doug screamed and everything changed again. He was being chased by an evil, powerful force. It didn't matter how fast he drove, he just couldn't escape. He looked around desperately. Murky swamps, filthy black smoke, and a sense of something lurking behind the dead trees. then a huge sign, Dead End Road. Doug slammed on the brakes, but he couldn't stop. He smashed through the sign and plunged over a high cliff. He was falling, out of control. Doug woke up, bathed in perspiration, his engine thudding with fear. He got up and put some water into his radiator. It was sizzling with heat. Everything was quiet and still. But deep down in his oil sump, Doug had a strange feeling that this dream was about to become real. Next morning, Doug told Uncle Diesel about his nightmare. "Uncle Diesel, could all this happen to me?" asked Doug miserably. Uncle Diesel smiled. "Scary dreams can mean all kinds of things, Doug. I used to be terrified of them when I was a young car too. But then Dizzy gave me the magic book. Sometimes you can't change what happens, but you can always choose a good way to deal with it." He lifted out the square bundle wrapped in a green cloth and gave it to Doug. "You've only just begun to experience the power of the book, Doug. It's time for you to put it in your own glove box. Take good care of it." Uncle Diesel winked. "I reckon you might need it one day soon." I hope you enjoyed listening to this production of Doug Dragster Finds His Wheels. I invite you to visit the Doug Dragster website at www.dougdragster.com or listen to the next book in the series Doug Dragster and the Magic Questions.